Morning is John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. John 12, 12 through 19, if we would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. The next day, a great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went down to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they recognize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Palm Sunday is one of our celebration Sundays during the liturgical church calendar that we follow, and it's a Sunday where we get to let loose a little bit during the worship service. It's the one Sunday that I think I see more hands raised above our heads than any other one during our worship service. We even get up out of our seats and walk forward and lay the palm branches down. And thank goodness we did it without catching anything on fire. I saw there was a couple of branches that were getting close to the flame. But it's a joyous occasion when Jesus went into Jerusalem and he has this crowd around him shouting, "Hosanna, our King is coming. Hosanna." Now we say Hosanna quite a bit this Sunday. It's kind of a word that we only use on this Sunday, and I actually had to look up the meaning of it because that was one of the many things I guess I had forgotten since seminary. And it means, "God save us," or, "Oh, please deliver us." It actually comes from a Hebrew word or a couple of words put together in the Greek. And the people, as they're announcing Jesus' coming on that first Palm Sunday when Jesus was going into Jerusalem, they're saying, "Oh, save us. The Messiah is here. He is coming. He is entering into Jerusalem. Oh, deliver us. Oh, save us now." The people had this great hope in Jesus. Many of them were probably hoping that he would walk into Jerusalem, go right up to the Roman authorities and throw them out and deliver the people and make Israel like it was in the day of King David, where it was one unified kingdom again. That's what many of them hoped for in the Messiah, and these people around him were wondering, is this the moment that Jesus was going to do all of this? You see, Jesus, just a few days ago, had raised Lazarus from the dead. Something that no one else had ever done before. It showed how powerful Jesus was, that he can raise someone up from the dead. Surely he can deliver us from the Roman authorities. We can live in a kingdom under the Messiah's rule once again. Our experience here on earth as it is under this oppressive state is coming to a close. Hosanna. Save us, deliver us, King Jesus. It's a political season again for us. I'm sure many of us probably went to the polls on Tuesday and cast our ballot again. We'll do it again in November when it comes to the general election. And I don't want to get into what candidates you should vote for. You make that decision on your own, discerning how God might want you to vote. But it's interesting seeing the commercials and how the candidates talk about one another and talk about how they want to deliver us or save us during this time. A lot of those campaign commercials, or I think a lot of us when we go to the polls, hope that in some way when we cast that ballot, that the candidate that we voted for might get into office so that they can deliver us from maybe the other party if they're in control at that time, or maybe just continue on in the way that things are, and so we don't have to go to the other side where the other team is trying to pull our nation into or our community into. A lot of what we do when we vote or during this season, we hope that we might be saved from this situation and brought into a new and better one, or that we might be delivered from the one politician into who we perceive as the better candidate. But if you've been around politics long enough, you know that your vote does matter, but oftentimes it doesn't get the result that we hope it would. That whatever that candidate says in those campaign speeches or in the commercials that we see online or on the TV, that most of the time that was all just for talk or for show so that they might get your voice, vote, so that they might have more power and authority. The roots of politics is so that whether you're Republican or Democrat or somewhere in between, that your party might have more power and control, so that laws might get passed and other things might happen. But usually those politicians like that power and authority so much so that they'll say anything and do anything to stay in power. The people, as they were announcing Jesus coming into Jerusalem, were placing their hope in Jesus in a political sense. They wanted him to go and march into the Roman authority and overthrow them, to announce this new kingdom that was going to come into place and be made new so that they might be delivered from this situation that they're in. But if we look at what Scripture tells us takes place that day, what their hope was in, that Jesus was going to bring about this earthly kingdom, this deliverance from Roman oppression, wasn't going to be the case. Jesus had something greater in mind for them and has something greater in mind for us as Christians as we live in this world today. The people are announcing Jesus as the Messiah, as the King to come. They actually use some words that are found in the Psalms. In Psalm 118, it says this, "Lord, save us," or as we translate it, "Hosanna, Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us." With broths in hand, or with palm branches in hand, join in this festal procession up to the horns of the altar. Many scholars believe that this psalm that the people are quoting as he's going into Jerusalem was a psalm that they would have said as they went into the temple to celebrate the Passover. This was a psalm that they were going to say just a few days later as they would go into the temple to celebrate the Passover. Jesus is entering Jerusalem at this specific time and place to say something to us. That as the people were going to celebrate Passover, that Jesus was going to be the Passover lamb. Just as the people that week were going to sit around a table and remember the deliverance that God had brought them when they were slaves in Egypt, when they gathered in their homes, cloaks on, ready to go, waiting for God to take action as they ate that meal of unleavened bread because they didn't have time for it to rise, as they ate the lamb whose blood they had just put over the doorpost. They were waiting for God to deliver them. That night, that first Passover, God did deliver them from the oppression of Egypt, brought them into the promised land, and the people were waiting to be delivered again, shouting these loud hosannas to Jesus as he entered into Jerusalem. Oh, save us, deliver us, Jesus, Messiah, ruler. But how does Jesus enter the city? If he was going to be that triumphal king who had just conquered and was going into the capital city again, he would have been on a horse. A horse was seen as power, of authority, political gain. But Jesus didn't want that image as he was going into Jerusalem. He was going there for a different purpose. Our passage today, it says he rode on a donkey's colt. Now, I don't know a whole lot about animals, but I knew a donkey is a whole lot smaller than a horse is, and a colt is smaller than a donkey. So if Jesus is riding on a horse, he'd be like way above eye level to the people. If he was on a donkey, he'd be a little bit closer to eye level. And if you're riding on a colt, you'd be right there among the people. Jesus didn't want to be perceived as someone who wanted to gain power and authority, but he was riding on that donkey so that he might be at eye level with the people and communicate with them that he was there with them in their situation, that as their Messiah, that yes, they were proclaiming him as Messiah, which is correct, but he was going to be a Messiah that did not use his power and authority to gain his own stature, that he was going to use that power and authority to deliver them not from the Roman Empire, but from something much greater than that. That he was going to deliver them from sin. That he was going to atone for their sins, just as the lamb in the Passover meal symbolized the deliverance of the people. Just as the blood on the doorpost had allowed the angel of death to pass over, Christ shed blood for us, cleanses us, and frees us from the power of sin and death. As Jesus was going into Jerusalem that Palm Sunday, he was announcing that he was Messiah, but he was going to deliver them from something greater than just the earthly political power that happened to be in place at that time. But he was getting at the root cause of all of our troubles in this life. He was going down to the roots of all the brokenness, and he was going to take care of sin and death. So what can we learn from Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem as he's riding on this colt, as he's at eye level with the people, communicating to them that he is a peaceful king, not to gain his own authority, but to empty himself on a cross for us and for our salvation? Know that Jesus is Messiah. What the people proclaiming that day is correct, even if they might have had a different idea about what that looked like from what Jesus was doing and would do the rest of that week. That Jesus is Messiah. He is our Savior, the one who delivers us from our sins. That Jesus got down to the roots of the wrong in this world and took care of it through the actions that would play out the rest of Holy Week. It's also a call for us as Christians to really look at what it means to be delivered in this life. Where do we place our hope? Who do we shout Hosanna to? Oh, save us, please deliver us. Are we looking for deliverance in the wrong areas of our lives? Are we maybe like the people who are shouting loud Hosannas, hoping that Jesus will save us from this earth in this moment, now, in this place? Because let's be real. What we experience here and now feels real and is real, and it would be nice to just be done with all of this right away. But that's not how Jesus delivered us. He walked through all the difficulties of this world. He went to the cross. Pretty painful experience for us and for our salvation. As followers of Christ, we long for that deliverance in our lives, and we have it in Christ Jesus. But Jesus has us here in this place and time to be his messengers, to point people to him, not to hope for a deliverance from our situation here, but to have Christ walk with us through life's difficulties. We have a Messiah. A faithful Messiah in Christ Jesus, who has delivered us from the power of sin and death. And praise be to God that one day that triumphal King will come again, and he will deliver us from all that is wrong in this world and bring us into this new creation that he has in place for us. That's where our hope is. That's where our deliverance is. It's not found in anything else. No politician, no scientific discovery, no philosophical thought. But our deliverance, our salvation, is in the person and work of Christ Jesus, who we proclaim this Palm Sunday. Hosanna, your King is coming. Oh, save us, deliver us, King Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that on that Palm Sunday, that you came into Jerusalem, and as the people shouted, rightly, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. God, we ask for the same thing. Oh, save us, deliver us. And God, we thank you that Christ continued to walk through Holy Week, continued to bear the weight of our sin as he hung on the cross so that we might truly be delivered and saved. God, may we only look to you as our hope for deliverance and salvation. It's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.